Right now, though, Jason Flores joins us, the state director for Minnesota for Americans for Prosperity. Flores, welcome back to Ox in the Afternoon, sir.
Hey, Ox, how you doing today?
Good. Thanks for being on. You getting on okay? We haven't spoken in a few months.
We are doing all right. I got too many teenagers doing a little bit too much distance learning in my house, but we're surviving it.
Yeah, I understand. Good job. So I'm glad to see that you're kind of back in action a little bit here as we got a wake-up call this week with the new projected budget deficit, a far cry. I think I was down there for your dinner back in January or February at the Capitol.
Yes, sir.
And the mood was, you know, what do we do with the surplus? Just because we have a surplus doesn't mean that we need to spend it all, doesn't mean that government should grow and all that stuff. So now that we have a projected deficit, does your strategy change for what you're advising and what you're hoping the government will do?
Well, you know, I think the thing here is that the underlying principles don't change, because what we are asking for, even in a time of surplus, was for the government to do a better job with the resources that it was taking from citizens and give a better return on investment, get more results, you know, for the dollar spent. And I think that's just going to be more important than ever as we move forward. I mean, in this crisis, you've seen Minnesota families and businesses both innovate and adjust, switch their business models, and in many cases, you know, tighten the belt and sacrifice to get through it. And the idea that government is somehow going to be immune to that, that's just ridiculous. They're going to have to make some of those tough decisions as well. They're going to have to go back and reevaluate those core services and not do this business as usual mentality of where can we find more money, or where can we suck more money out to fund these things. It's going to have to be a conversation about how can we deliver these services better, more efficiently? How can we use technology and innovate just the way businesses around the state are doing?
I'd like to see it happen, especially if it means less operating costs. And Jason, right now we're going to be seeing the businesses that we like to advocate for all saying, you're the ones who shut us down. Now it's your job to help, you know, bring us back. There's going to be a lot of clamoring for state bailouts, right? Give me state money. Well, now the state doesn't have money because we do have a constitutionally balanced budget. You don't have a choice in Minnesota, so we have to balance the budget. How do you make those things jive? How do you balance the need for businesses to get an influx of money and with the fact that the government doesn't have that much money anyway? I don't know how we do this. What are you suggesting?
Well, that's why, number one, the first thing that we have to do is allow businesses that can operate safely to do so. And that's not going to be a one-size-fits-all approach. That's been the biggest problem with the governor's shutdown so far, is that it's just this blanket idea of healthy or not healthy, you know, customer-centric business versus business-to-business. It's just everything shut down. And that's the wrong way to approach it. And his adjustments recently, the welcome, they've been slow to come. So we've got to first get businesses operating again where and how they can do it safely. And we've seen that. And right now, there's no reason that, you know, small town businesses in your neck of the woods, if those giant big box retailers are open, there's no way that these small mom and pop shops can't figure out a way to open as well. Every day that goes by without providing more room for these businesses to safely reopen, the deeper that economic hole is out. I mean, remember, even this deficit is just a projection. So every action that we take today to get the state open for business again, safely, responsibly, and in the right area, and that's not going to mean the same thing in St. Cloud as it does in St. Paul, but where and how we can do it, we should. That's step number one. Step number two is starting to make smart decisions at the state budget level right now. I mean, this is a deficit by the end of the year. We're not even halfway through the current biennium and the current fiscal cycle yet, which means that we can make a lot of changes that have huge impacts. This would be different if we were only 3 months away from the end of the cycle, or a month away from the end of the cycle, and we were facing a massive cut. You wouldn't have latitude. We've got the entire year ahead of us. So we've got to take a look at how the state is delivering services and start to clamp down on some of the nice increases, some of the well, since we have a surplus for the last couple of cycles, I guess we can fund this some more. This seems like a nice idea, but it's not really proven yet. Or, you know, really get back to that value-based budgeting and say, all right, where are we spending our money? What value is it giving to the citizens and to the state in terms of public health or education or whatever the goal is? And then if it's not performing, let's talk about pulling back on it and putting money where we know it's actually going to do some good. That's the second step.
That's spot on. Coming off the money aspect of it then, is there some policy work that our legislature could do here? I guess it'll have to get it done quick, but any policy work that would help businesses maybe not need as much aid and be able to make more money?
Well, again, the first thing that they can do is allow businesses to get reopened. The current way we're doing it, where an industry that's loud enough, or that, you know, gets enough social media attention. You know, first it was the bars and restaurants being able to sell, you know, the carry out wine and beer. Okay, well, we'll allow that. And now we've allowed, and it's a good thing that we've allowed elective surgeries to start back up where they're safe. But this idea that you have to go to the governor and get a permission slip every time that a kind of new sector of the economy is being hurt, it's ridiculous. We should flip that on its head and say that if you can operate safely on these basic guiding principles, because we all want to do what's best for our neighbor, we all want to do what's best for public health, I mean, especially these small businesses that are out there on Main Street that are still being shut down. If you can find a way to do it safely, and if your customers believe that it's safe, then that's the responsibility on you to do it right. We're not, as government, going to be doing this permission slip type process. I mean, so we got to just let the economy be open again. But in terms of regulation, we've seen in multiple cases, really from a national level, but on down to the state, where all of these regulations and some of the licensure things and the government permission and all those rules and regulations that, well, okay, I guess I can comply with and figure this out in a normal time, that again hurts small businesses. Anything that's been done away with or temporarily relieved during the crisis, we should continue that, because if it doesn't make sense to do now, it's not going to make sense to do during a recovery either. So we got to remove those barriers where government's actually getting in the way of economic development.
Right on.
Actually getting in the way and making it harder for a new business to start up, or a business to shift their business model or expand or hire people. I mean, anything that's a barrier to that kind of opportunity, we've got to get that out of the way and get government out of the way. That's how we can get businesses going again. Because not all, like your very question supposes, not everything is about state money going to them. The state gets in the way in a lot of ways that cost money behind the scenes as well.
Absolutely. And I think about licensing. There's been a lot of talk about licensing simply because of the accessibility to the license centers, for one thing. If you get your license, you don't need to renew it right now. You know, there's lots of that kind of stuff. And I wonder how much of that needs to be looked at. Do we really need to re-up our licenses every 2 years, or could we do it every 4 years? You know, that kind of thing. I wonder how much of that will become permanent.
Yep. And we look at some of the, you know, scope of practice type of things. Minnesota, one of the biggest things early on is we were still talking about flattening the curve, which we've actually done very well in Minnesota. But one of the big things was to flatten that curve so that we have access to enough healthcare supply so that the system isn't overwhelmed. But Minnesota actually has a law in the book that restricts, like, addition of new hospital beds. It's called Certificate of Need in some states. It's a hospital bed moratorium in this state. So we actually have a law that restricts creation of capacity of supply, which means that in a time of crisis like this, that people can't access those services that they need, or with that lower supply, that it's going to cost more. So we've got to look at all these healthcare regulations. We've got to look at the licensing regulations that you talked about. And the big picture framework that I want to make sure that people are talking about moving forward is that no family of business is going to go back and try to operate the exact same way that they did before this crisis. And government should be no different. We can't go back to that status quo. We can't go back to just the same old way that we delivered services. And if we can possibly learn some lessons here and get government to innovate or try something new or change how they deliver a service to actually get more value, that's a much better approach long term than just finding a new source of money to throw more money at the same old solutions to the same old problems that we had before.
I got a final question for you, Jason Flores from Americans for Prosperity. I mean, you're pretty connected. You're very connected in St. Paul, no doubt. AFP, very well known nationally and throughout the country, both on the national level and on the state levels throughout the country. You know what's going on. Will people listen more to, say, Americans for Prosperity now? Will the government listen to you more with this coronavirus now and this government shutdown and subsequent reopening? Or will you be somebody that people will blow off and say, no, we don't have time for you now. The government's going to have all the answers here.
Yeah, I think that is one of the challenges that we face just long term in our society of always turning to government for the answer. You know, there ought to be a law, there ought to be funding. And I think if this epidemic has shown us anything, it's that some of the best things that have come out of this have been the ways that communities have pulled together, that businesses have found ways to support each other and support their communities, that families and individuals have gone out of their way to help. That side of what built our country and made our country so great isn't dead. And if we needed something like a pandemic to see that, hey, government isn't always the solution, and to recognize that in some cases, they're actually the barrier, I think that's a good thing. Now, it has nothing to do with how connected I am or what I say or how I do interviews. What matters to us is that as we've talked with people across Minnesota about this, and we've given them the tools and the resources, the information, the ability to connect on time online with their legislators, we've had thousands of Minnesotans across the state contact the governor, contact their lawmakers, and say, we need to find a way to safely reopen, or we need to be careful about how we're spending federal dollars on all of these bailouts, because even the federal government, I hate to break it to them, that money doesn't grow on trees. And so the citizen engagement of a regular everyday folks has really stepped up throughout this time. That's what's going to get the state government and the federal government to reform and to change their ways and to do the right thing moving forward. It's because we're just connecting them with the citizens who understand the challenges that they're facing and understand what government needs to do better.
Right on. So in a nutshell then, are you asking an action of people?
Yeah, absolutely. If you take the time today as you're listening, visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Click on our Action Center right on the top there. You'll find links on a variety of different topics. But most importantly, there's one that says we can get Minnesota back to work safely. Click on that one. Add your name there. You can also find links to that action alert on our Facebook page at AFP Minnesota and on Twitter at @ProsperityMN. We've got a bunch of different webinars, our weekly legislative update coming up tomorrow night. If you visit our website or those social media channels, you're going to find ways to get in touch. You're going to find ways to make your voice heard. And that's how we're going to get out of this crisis.
Yep. The governor needs to know that we're out here and we're out here in force. Jason Flores, Americans Absolutely. For Prosperity, AFP. Thank you. Good to reconnect, sir.
Thank you for the time today. And I look forward to continuing the conversation with you and your listeners.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Jason Flores, Americans for Prosperity on KNSI's Ox in the Afternoon, the Minnesota State Director.